Okay. Good evening. We have tonight and next week, and we will be finished with the class. I know that you have been just totally immersed into information. Overloaded. And you have such a great teacher. Okay, good. All right, I had to play this to the elders to let them know why I need a job. And they should keep me. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to open up your word. Thank you, Father, for the greatest blessing in all the world, and that is to know your word. There's nothing greater in all the world, Father, than to be able to say, thus saith the Lord. So, Father, you know, I pray that you move me out the way that we can go through this information, and there is lots of information. And, Father, if you would give everyone wisdom and discernment on what to ask questions about and when to be silent, it will be so helpful for this class. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, amen. Now, can you imagine someone getting the tape of this class and not having any other background? It's a cult. But that's what they call us anyway. You guys know that. If you go to Antioch, they call you Hutchites. All the little Hutchites at Antioch. And if they don't call us Hutchites, they call us what's the other word? Antioch Bible Church. And the Stranger this week, you would love this, the game paper that they sent to me. The homosexual paper. They had in there some more articles about Pastor Ken Hutchins, the cult leader of Antichrist Bible Church. Also, they love me. They're not biased at all. They just love me. Okay, so you guys have a good time last week on running through the whole age and line of man. Now, everyone understood that was an overview. That's why we went so fast last week. I'm sure no one thought that was the class, that was just an overview of going over the whole timeline of man. So tonight, we want to break it down a little bit and see what we can come up with. Okay, now you got to listen real close. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Some of you are going, what did he say? I'm not going to tell you. It says, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear. So be very careful about your explanation on the tape. All right. So the tribulation period. Now, you remember when we looked at the whole timeline, since Mark was late getting here for class tonight, we're not taping, and it is his fault why you won't have this class on tape. Now, you remember as we looked at the whole timeline, when on the timeline we looked at, is what page is in your book there? 27? If you look on page 27, okay, see page 27, what age has to stop in order for the tribulation period to start? Church age. What age are we in right now? Church age. According to prophecy, what has to happen in order for the church age to be over and the tribulation period to start? Rapture's the only thing left. Anything else? Most people think that before the rapture can take place and the tribulation period start, that the temple must be rebuilt. That's what a lot of Christians sit on, that we don't have to worry because the temple isn't rebuilt yet, so the church age cannot end. That is not true. Why? What's that? Now, we're taping, so quiet. It does not go good on tape. Why is it that does not have to be true, that the temple must be rebuilt before rapture can take place, and the tribulation period starts.
Is the church the temple?
The church the temple? No, this is talking about the actual temple in Jerusalem on the mount. The temple doesn't have to be in place until Jesus comes back the third time. Going that way, but not completely. The temple must be built in the middle of the tribulation by the third and a half year. 7 years, the 70th week of Daniel. You guys remember all that? As we talked about all the weeks of Daniel? Or are you just giving a courtesy yet? Okay, that's in the book of Daniel, God gave a prophecy of 70 weeks. 70 times 7 years. Each week represented a year. 7 years. Okay? Each week represented a year. 7 weeks will represent 490 years. So it'll be 70 times 7 a week of Daniel. How many did we have already come through? Sixty-nine weeks. Okay? We only have 483 years have already passed. But when Daniel asked God, what is your plan for the Jew? God gave him his plan for the Jews. He didn't say that there was going to be a break between the 69th week of Daniel and the 70th week of Daniel. We learned last week that the break between the 69th week of Daniel and the 70th week of Daniel was called the church age. That's what we're in now. The church age is the only thing outside of God's judgment when he was going to deal with the world, when he was going to judge the world. Methuselah was given a period right before judgment, right before the flood. God gave a period. It was called the years of Methuselah. Methuselah lived 969 years, showing God's grace to man. There's another period that happens before judgment. It's called the church age. Those two ages that God gave of grace before he judges the people or judge the Jews again, the church age is the only one that doesn't have an age limit. You can look through the Bible and walk through the age of man and look at the world, how it was created, and you can go almost exactly that the world, the earth as we know it, is only 67,000 years old. That's it. But when scientists test it, what makes the world seem so old?
You kind of put it in its original. Put everything in the mature state.
God created everything maturely. He did not create anything in his infancy. He created maturely so life can begin and life can be sustained. So we had to create it in its maturity. He created Adam and Eve, mature adults. So if you believe in evolution, you got a difficult question when they said which came first, the chicken or the egg. But in creation, if God created, it's a very easy answer. What came first? The chicken. Because God created maturely and all needs was there before you needed it. Like God didn't create man and then say, hold your breath until I create air. Amen? I mean, he created air and then man, which is to sustain and food and everything else, he had already created. When he created fish, he didn't create fish and say, you just flop around on the sand until I make some dirt, some water. He created the water first. And then tell the birds, I'm going to create birds, and you just hang there for a while until I create the heavens. And God created three heavens. All right? First heaven is what we see as we look up in the air where the birds can fly. Second heaven is outer space. And the third heaven is where God abodes. Okay? So those are the three heavens that we would talk about in the scriptures, and you have to know which one according as you keep verses in context in chapter and testament in order to figure that out. God is such an orderly God, even in the way he created and put the Bible together, his total order. You guys know that, right? You're looking at me like, yeah, right, we know that, Pastor. God created even the Bible and put it together in total order. The first verse of the Bible is Genesis 1:1. The last verse of the Bible is Revelation 22:21. And how it goes back, you're looking at the ones and the twos. Then he creates a middle chapter in the Bible, is Psalms 118. The middle verse of the Bible is Psalms 118:6. Anyone know what the central theme of the central verse in the central chapter of the Bible is? It is the central theme of the entire creation of man. It is best to put your trust in God than to put it in man. So the central theme and the central verse and the central chapter in the center of the Bible is God saying, you better trust me than you. I mean, is that not what all truth is about? God totally puts order. The middle chapter in the Bible is Psalms 118. The longest chapter in the Bible is right next to the center chapter in the Bible, which is 119, Psalms 119. The longest chapter in the Bible. The second chapter in the Bible, that is the shortest chapter in the Bible, is Psalms 117. Yeah, so God put the middle chapter and surrounded it on both sides with the shortest chapter in the Bible and the longest chapter in the Bible. Tell me how good man could be to do that. I don't think so. There is an order to everything God does. Now, as we're looking at that, we got to come to the conclusion that if God has everything in order, he also is going to follow that order that he has established. We have already established that God has a purpose for everything he does. That purpose is even in judgment. God says that I am going to judge Israel on the 70th week of Daniel. If God says to Daniel that this is my plan for the Jews, without establishing that there's anything for the church in that prophecy to Daniel, how can the church, who is between the 69th week and the 70th week of Daniel, be expected to fall under judgment when it is judgment for the Jews in the 70th week of Daniel? Common sense says that evidently God must remove the church out of the way in order for him to deal with the promise that he gave through prophecy in the 70th week of Daniel we call the tribulation period. But we're going to eliminate all theology in here because there's great theology we can walk through, but it don't make sense because I think most theologian has come up with the term theology so that they can keep a job. Most theology, doctrine is important, but if it's not practical, it just equals to evidence running in your brain that's going to equal to abortion of practicality. Am I sounding like a professor tonight? So I better slow down, all right? Let's get back to me being myself. So, what we've been talking about, y'all, is God knows what he's doing. And he's going to follow what he say he was going to do. So, does that make sense? We have here in the tribulation period, the tribulation period works between the church being raptured and Christ's return. For 7 years that we are gone, I kind of figured, God, if he just give me a couple of weeks, just let me know a couple of weeks before a rapture takes place, I'm going to buy a 7-year bond. So it will mature when I come back with it. Can I get an amen on that? You know, you go, you're Christians with that economic man, you know what I'm saying? Cool. Now, during the 7 years in heaven, during the tribulation period, we are going to be judged by God of the life we lived after we became a Christian. It has nothing to do with our salvation. If you believe that the church will be raptured at the beginning of the tribulation period, you are known as a pre-trib believer. Okay? Let me get this, make sure we understand that. Theology proper, there are three aspects of what a tribulation is going to be. Rapture, in the tribulation. If you go that God is going to pull the church out before the tribulation, at the beginning of the tribulation, you are called pre-trib. You was a pre-trib rapture. If you believe that the church is going to go through tribulation, which many do, And the church will be pulled out at the end of the 7 years, which, if you want to use common sense, does not make sense. Anybody want to tell me why it does not make sense? I'm listening. I'm keep swimming. He's judging the Jews at that time, and we're not Jews. You didn't listen to your teacher. Pretty good. But that's not the reason why. Okay? Why do we know this probably will not happen at the end of the tribulation period? Come, children. Talk to the professor. Oh, no, you have your hand up. Go, girl. Because it's not the 70th week. It would be the 70th week if we waited to the end, right?
Okay.
It would be the 70th week. Good, but not on par. Yes, ma'am.
I didn't quite hear the question. So I'm just following this out. Are you talking about because he's bringing the church back with him, so how can the church be with him if we didn't get the church back?
We'll make a big U-turn. We'll go up, make a U-turn with him. I mean, that's what anyone that believes in post, you know, you had to do. You just go up, you judge us real quick, and you just have a big roller coaster ride. Wow! And all of our stomachs will be still in heaven by the time we get back down here. It'll take 1,000 years for our stomach to catch back up with us. It'd be so bad. Okay? I didn't quite hear your answer, but no. Okay? So, what's that? You think it was a good answer? That's why I'm the teacher. All right? How do you think? Why do we know common sense? Why would common sense and Scripture tell us that it probably wouldn't be at the end of tribulation? And as a matter of fact, while we're on the subject, let's add the other one. If you are taken out at the end of the rapture, I mean at the end of tribulation, you are called post-trib rapture. Okay, rapture is not anywhere in the Bible, the word rapture. That's the name we gave the concept of being pulled out of here quickly. The twinkling of an eye. Anyone know what the twinkling of an eye is? It is not the blink of an eye. That's mega seconds too slow. Okay? The twinkling of an eye is the time light hits the retina and reflects off. Alright? That's the twinkling of an eye. Now, what? Yes. Holy Spirit, that's one reason we know the Holy Spirit pulled out. But that's not telling us why we know it's at the end. Because the reason is so if you call at the end of the trip, then it's called
post.
Now, another view is, according to Matthew chapter 11, Revelation chapter 11, why am I just so murmuring so much? I'm still in Hawaii. That's what it is. I hadn't been in Hawaii. I don't know. No, Randall Miller, if it's taken out in Revelation chapter 11, in the middle of the tribulation period, it's called the mid-trib rapture. So we got the pre-trib rapture, we got the mid-trib rapture, and we have the post-trib rapture. Mid-trib is taken out in the middle, pre-trib is taken out at the beginning, post-trib rapture is taken out at the end. Why do we know, according to the scripture, that we know it's not the mid-trib or the post-trib rapture? You got an answer. Okay. That's part of it. But even those that are professors don't even. Because I said so. I tell you, I love this man. But no. Let me tell you why. God's word says that in rapture, that concept that we've named rapture, the pulling out of the church, is going to be a time that no one, no man knows the time or the hour that it's going to happen. Amen? You got to come to the whole issue then. What would be wrong then if the rapture takes place at mid-trib or post-trib? You could figure out when it would be. Amen? You'll be able to figure out when it would be. All of a sudden, when you start seeing some guy comes in and makes peace with Israel, everyone is going to start going, uh-oh, we got some problems, Houston. Can I get an amen out here? And at Demetria, when we see two witnesses come back that has been pulled out of here for a while, come back and start preaching, and it's two Old Testament dudes walking around preaching, and someone kills them, and they're laying there in the middle of the road, we can say, we're going to get out of here in 3 days.
How do we know it's starting? That's probably a dumb question. How do we know it starts?
How do we know what?
When the 7 years starts.
If it's pre-trip,
yeah,
you're going to get a jolt. I know that.
Well, we know that.
We know that. I told God to just give me a couple split seconds and make sure I got two non-believers around me. When I get raptured, y'all, one for each hand. I'm gonna grab them when I go up. I'm gonna get about 30,000 feet. Says, do you believe or shall I let go? Every now and then you had to practice rapture drill. Have you ever practiced rapture drill? Just get your shoes on time. Don't be walking along, just jump out of them. Get clothes at home and put them on the couch like you were sitting there. Leave your shoes, your shirt off. Just watch someone walk and go, ooh. Shake them up, boy. You got a raptor drill. You're going to really enjoy life, man. You got roommates? You got some roommates? Oh, lay them out, boy. You been talking to them? I feel like it's going to happen. I think it'll be any day. Set them up about 2 weeks. Then one day, let them walk in and there's your clothes. You're sitting there on the couch, TV on. This, down at the end of the sleeve, the remote control. It'll freak some folks out, Jack. Then you got some non-believer roommates. Alright? So are we rolling on the tribulation? Yeah. Okay. So it's real important. How many versions of rapture is it? Three. What other term for the different raptures? We have the pre, which means before. We have the mid, which means the middle. During. This class is heavy. Mid-trib is during. And we have the post, which is after.
I was actually just thinking about that. Like, you know,
of the tribulation?
Or when the rapture.
Oh, I'm sure it is. These people out there can come up with anything they want to sell a book. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to come up with a new rapture. That's what fools out there buy the book. It's like crazy. Biggest problem with Left Behind is it just don't tell the truth about how the rapture takes place and how you won't have a second chance.
Well, a lot of people don't believe it then.
They won't believe because the only people can get saved is the ones that hadn't heard the gospel before. Because God said their hearts could be hard and they won't be able to accept. So anyone that haven't, the people that's going to be saved during the tribulation period is people that never heard the gospel. That's why people go, well, if it happens and rapture comes, then I accept out because I know it's true. God's going to harden their heart. And he says, the scripture tells in Revelation, the scripture tells in Peter and Matthew that if the elect was left here, they would be also fooled. That means us. Because the hardening of the heart, the Holy Spirit. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Yes, ma'am.
Will anybody be walking the earth at that time?
Oh, yeah. Many, many, many. Millions.
I mean, so if you get blown out of your shoes, you go, you know, to heaven.
There's only Christians that are going to leave.
So what happens to everybody else?
They're going to marry the Antichrist. And it won't be a big party. The Antichrist. And then those that have not heard was going to be saved through preaching. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Yes, ma'am. Anything else you'd like to do? Would you like for me to make sure I don't go so fast this time over the overview? Okay. Yes. It's when he was limited as a man. when he was here as a man, he limited his knowledge, remember? That's why he says that. Okay? Yes, ma'am. There are no dumb questions, but we can't get a stupid answer. She says, it seems like it's been a long time. Is it ever going to happen? I bet Methuselah thought it was a long time. 969 years to be on this earth because of God's grace to try to get the world to repent. Can you imagine living 969 years? I told you he was so old, he cut wind and blew dust. That's old. 969 years. So is it not true then that the issue we got is you're proving the point. God's grace to try to let the world repent is long. But this is the first time in history that all prophecy that has to happen for rapture happened in 1948. Anyone know what happened in 1948? Israel became a nation again. That was the last prophecy that had to be fulfilled before rapture takes place. Could be any minute. Satan's already set. We just need to open the curtain. Yes, ma'am. We try not to mess around with the red heifer girl. Samson got mad because they plowed with his heifer. And when he found out, she knew, she turned off the red. Now, the red heifer is what the Jews considered by starting the sacrifices, remember? It's an Old Testament issue that they say is going to issue in when they need to build the temple and they can start their sacrificial system back again. So you can imagine what would happen when God allows that red heifer. They think they got one or two, you know, they always got them. And that when it's time to rebuild that temple. They can't rebuild that temple until God comes in and destroys Muslims, basically.
Okay, I mean, they raised the red heifer in Alabama. I guess they got hold of some of that Montana stuff.
No. Bad juice down there in Alabama. What you got to understand is what? Is they cannot, if the Palestinians walk in and try to do anything with the temple now, it's an all-out holy war. If the Jews walk in and try to do anything with the Temple Mount, it's an all-out holy war. Why? Because the temple is built upon what Abraham sacrificed his son, supposedly, and God stopped him.
What's it doing right now?
It is on. You know, if you look at a picture of Jerusalem and it says the dome, the gold dome, that's the Temple Mount right there. And the temple should be built right next to that. When the Palestinians took over, they lined up the wrong doors because the temple had to sit between these two doors. Well, when they rebuilt the city, they built the doors further to the south. So when they lined it up, the Palestinians, because the first thing they want to do is to take any holy site and they do one or two things. They either make it a graveyard, which really ticks the Israelites off, or they put a mosque on it, which really ticks them off. They will not do anything without dealing with a holy site for Israel. As soon as Israel takes over, they tear down everything that the Muslims have done and make it back holy again. But what the Temple Mount is held by Palestinians and Jews. The Jews control the Wailing Wall, where the Palestinians, they're called Palestinians, but there's no such thing as a Palestinian. There's no such thing as Palestine. It's an unbiblical term. The Arabs, okay, controls the Temple Mount, where the Dome of Omar is. And you can't see. I got some pictures. If I can find them, I'll bring them next week. When we was in Israel, they built the Mosque of Omar with the big gold dome in Israel, what you see now. The temple just north of that, the original spot. But when they rebuilt the city, when it was torn down in 70 A.D. by the Romans, they built the whole thing up. What they did was they lined the doors up because they built the city off. And so the Mosque of Omar was built, what they thought, right on top. They wanted to build it right on top of the Temple Mount to totally degrade what the Jews call the most holy site. And God just cracked up. And all the way around it, around the temple, they put graveyards. So just, I mean, it's amazing. Well, when we was there, we took pictures. Well, they couldn't, once they got the dome up, they couldn't touch it. Even the Arabs couldn't touch it because it's a holy place then. Well, they brought in granite. Guys, this is the funniest thing in the world. They brought in granite and they built this building. The minute they built the building, they realized that right on the south side of where you walk into the Mosque of Omar, there's two huge slates that fits together that look just like the head of the devil. You know what I mean? It just comes up. It's sharp face, and then it's got two sets of horns. I mean, and two of them, when they put them on, these two fit just right to make two heads of the devil. But we picture the devil. And the Israelites just crack up because now they can't even touch it. And they won't allow anyone to take pictures. So what you do is you go up and you pretend like you're taking a picture of a person that's standing there, and you snap the wall behind them, see, because they'll throw you out if you take pictures of those walls. Okay? Are we flowing? Does that help? Some of you going, I'm just trying to figure out where you are. Okay? Now, you got the tribulation period, which is the whole period, and then you have the great tribulation period. It is broken down into two periods, half and half. 7 years broken into half is 3.5 years. Now, this is where, in that 3.5 year, is where the temple's got to be rebuilt. It doesn't have to be built at the beginning. Can you imagine if the Israelites start building, the Jews start building the temple, and right after they get it fixed and get ready to worship and get ready to sacrifice that red heifer, Antichrist comes in and takes over? Would that be more devastating than if it's been there for a while? Okay, so just picture that. Right there at the 3.5 year, Satan is also thrown out of heaven. Do you know up until that time, Satan to this very day can go to heaven? You guys know that? Oh, yeah. He can go to heaven right now. But Mike and a couple boys are going to grab him and slam him and right in the middle of the tribulation. And when he hit the ground, he's going to hit the ground mad. And then that's when he's going to start all the different great tribulation period upon the world. And it's going to be serious persecution. Okay? We'll walk through that here in a minute. You guys didn't hear that, did ya? I see, there's no Star Trek people around here. Star Wars, excuse me, there's no Star Wars. Back then, all of you will call me Master. See, that's going to be Satan alive. Because what? Now, that is a wimpy ring, man. I would leave, too, with a ring like that. Thought you was a man, Mike. All right? So we got, when is the Great Tribulation? The latter half, the last 3.5 years. What is the Tribulation period for? God's answer to the rejection of the Messiah by Israel. Church didn't do that. I saw a hand. Yeah, bro.
Has 3.5 year marked the beginning of the reconstruction of the temple?
No. It had to be the end if it's going to be, because that's when he's got to come in and take over. So it's got to be built by the 3.5 year. Yes, ma'am.
Where does it talk about in the Bible that they
would
go to heaven?
Well, we're going to read about it in Revelation. He's going to be thrown out of heaven. So if he's going to be thrown out, guess what?
Okay.
He's got to be able to go. And then, and you look at 1 John 1:9, God says it, 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2, it tells us that the enemy is there condemning us still. And God has to do what? So Jesus says, I paid. I'm the propitiation for them. He's still condemning. So Satan will be able to go to heaven until the middle of the tribulation where he's thrown out. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I don't think it's much of a chat. He stopped saying to condemn us. And Jesus said, Daddy, And that's what Abba means. Daddy, you know, I paid for them. Sorry, Satan, their sins is canceled. Poof. Dismissed. He'll be back, though. Okay? Okay, now let's look at the preliminary event. Okay? That's going to take place before. Number one, right there at the beginning, we got to remove out of the church. Why? Because it's going to be the removal of the restrainer. Who is the restrainer? The Holy Spirit. Hebrews says that as a believer, the Holy Spirit and God would never leave us or forsake us. So the only way the Antichrist can be revealed on the earth is the Holy Spirit's got to be moved out of here. Common sense says if God says, I never leave you nor forsake you, and he's pulled out of here, what must happen with those he indwell? We got to go with it. Then it says those that are dead will be raised first, and then those that are on the earth will be raised. That's talking about believers. Question? Did you have a question? Oh, you just put it. Oh, okay. But don't do that. You just bought a $3 million picture. This is an auction here. Now, why is it important for you and I to understand the importance of the Holy Spirit being removed? Yeah, it conviction removes everyone, and it won't be, their hearts won't be hardened whether the conscience of the Holy Spirit is on earth and present. Don't be a real person walking earth. Okay? Now, Jesus was the Son of God with all the power of God because he was God, being here representing God. Satan's got a substitute, right? So Satan's son that's going to be here representing Satan with all of the power of Satan is going to be the Antichrist, the anti-Son of God, which makes him the son of Satan. Make sense though? So we got the Holy Trinity and we got the unholy Trinity. That's going to be working. Alright? Are we on that? Yes? The false prophet, the religious leader. Make sense? Okay. And then what's going to be bad is if the Trinity never turns on itself and never goes without, then the unholy Trinity is going to have to do something opposite of that, and that's why they're going to end up, once the religious leader's no use anymore, they're going to end up killing him anyway. Okay, any questions about the preliminary event? That must happen. As soon as the church period ends, Holy Spirit's pulled out, church is pulled out, the Antichrist can be revealed because there's no restraint on the earth. Now, during that 7-year period right now at the very beginning, there are no Christians on the earth. Okay? None. Starting, Antichrist makes covenant with Israel. When you start seeing it look like there's going to be peace in the Middle East and we're still here, result and forget about pre-trib, start writing your theology paper on pan-trib. Amen. Everyone know the difference between pre-trib and pan-trib. It'll all pan out in the end. I just go along with Jesus if I start seeing this happening on the earth, because I know, oops, that's what theology aspect I was wrong on, but I don't think so. Alright? So if we'll be gone, the restrainer, that's the way the Antichrist can be revealed. Everyone's going to think he is a man of peace. He's bringing peace upon the earth. And for the first 3.5 years, it's going to be like whatever the world wanted is going to happen. Man's going to do what's right in his own eyes, and the world leader's going to say, oh, stupid Christians, we had to remove them, had to get them out of here. And I believe that's where UFOs are going to come really big into play to reveal the Antichrist. Because Satan is the god of light, angel of light, who fools, who brings down untruth and blinds. And what better way than to come down with just the guy that's on late at night, Art Bell, come down with Art Bell with Haley Bop or whatever them things are called, and the UFO land and says, Christians, these people are so narrow-minded, we had to remove them all off the earth. Fool them. Say, here's your leader. He's going to bring peace to the world because those narrow-minded people have all been removed. What is the only people? What is the only thing to keep in the world to do what the world wants to do right now? Religious people. What's the only thing that's keeping the world from just going hard wild and doing what they want to do? Christians with morals. The religious circles. Which restrains through us, right? And the restrainer, what he does is keep Satan and all of his hosts from killing us. Because they had the chance to kill us right on the spot. Because they hate us. They know they can't own us or get us anymore. So the best thing they can do is kill us to keep from taking other people away from him. With our witness. Okay? So the Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel. Whenever it seems like there's going to be peace in the Middle East, go to what theory?
Pan.
Why?
It's all
going to pan out in the end, and I'm going to just follow with Jesus. Just start practicing Hinduism. Okay. The two witnesses begin to witness. Okay, now who is going to be the two witnesses? No Christians are on the earth. We're gone. The church is gone. There's no one to witness, so God's going to send two witnesses. Who is going to be the two witnesses going to minister during these 3.5 years?
Enoch and Elijah.
Many people think it's Moses and Elijah. But Moses, we know, has already died. In Jude verse 9, it says that Satan came and held Moses' body, and Michael couldn't take it from Satan. Michael had to call upon God to get Moses' body from Satan. That's how powerful Satan is. Even the archangel Michael won't dare talk with him. He calls and says, God Almighty says. And that's how he got the body of Moses. So Moses, we know, died. There's only two. The Bible says up until judgment, up until a rapture, every man's appointed to die once. There's only two people up to the rapture that hadn't died ever in the Old Testament, and that's Elijah. God took him off the earth. And Enoch, God took him off the earth. So, the two witnesses are going to come back to die. He's got to be the two that never died to fulfill Scripture, so Scripture never be alive. Is God awesome? I'm going to tell you, man. God says it's appointed for everyone to die at least once until judgment. But we know that several died twice. Those he resurrected. Look at that, man. Look at it. Didn't even change the ring when I picked on him. All right? So the two witnesses we believe is the only two in the Old Testament never died, Enoch and Elijah. Enoch did not become a righteous man until after his first children was born. Every parent knows children drive you to God. And Enoch was 65 years old when he became righteous. Isn't that amazing?
And what are they coming to?
Hey?
They're
going to come and be the evangelists of the day because there's no believers on the earth.
They're going to try to convert people.
Oh, they're going to come down and preach, and these two witnesses are going to be double nasty people. They're going to witness like never before. All right?
All the Satan people all around them and everything.
Mm-hmm. And they'll be witnessing to the people that's never heard, and those are the people that will be receiving. And on top of the two witnesses that's going to be saved, they're going to be sent from heaven. The Holy Spirit is going to come back with them and it's going to save 144,000 Israelites. You guys have heard the number 144,000. Most of the time you hear from Jehovah's Witnesses. Right? 144,000. Jehovah's Witnesses got a mistake. They got more than 144,000 members now. So now they go, we got a ruling class. You know, you lie about the Scripture, you're going to have to keep on lying about the Scripture. You add to the Scripture, you don't have to keep on adding to the Scripture. Now, every Jehovah's Witness got a problem with that being 144,000.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you what and why they got a problem. Number one, the 144,000 got to be Jewish. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
That eliminates a lot of brothers and sisters and white people. And some of their descendants. Totally eliminate anyone that's not Jewish, there's going to be 144,000. Now, and you can't be just Jewish. you got to be 12,000 from each tribe. Okay? So you can be a Benjamite and be 12,001 and not get in. Anybody got an amen for that? So you got to be Jewish. You got to be one of the 12,000 from each of the tribes. 12,000 times 12 is 144,000. That's where we get 144,000. Not plus. Okay. Doesn't matter about them. God or no. God will choose 12,000 each tribe. The Holy Spirit come down and say, okay? Okay. Oh, yeah. They're going to be non-believers that's going to make it through up to the tribulation and start in the tribulation that have not heard. Probably from the two witnesses, probably straight from the Holy Spirit. Okay? So they'll probably come pretty simultaneously. Okay? Jennifer, are you explaining to her? Okay. Did you get it? You didn't get it? You didn't get it from Jennifer? Okay. So the Holy Spirit's gonna come back. Because all the believers that he needs to promise with what? So when he said they never leave us or forsake, well, if he leaves in heaven, we're with God the Father and God the Son. So we won't be forsaken even there, right? During the tribulation. That's when we have our party. The great feast. 7 years of barbecue sauce. Okay. Now, chill. 144,000, they gotta be all what? Jewish. They got to be 12,000 only from each tribe. They equal 144,000. Three, they got to be all men. They are. Yes. The 144,000 are all men. Why? Because that's where God has chosen leadership, remember? Preachers. Charismatic church would be upset about this. What's that? Do the Jewish people believe? Not the ones that are doing this time, right? Because if they believe that, they would have probably accepted Christ. Okay? So it'll be all Jews, 12,000 only from each tribe, and they must be all men. Okay? Fourth thing. They not only have to be all Jews, they not only have to be from a particular tribe of only 12,000 from each tribe. They can not only be men, but they all got to be virgins. Yeah. All right? They're going to be 144,000. That is so, that, I mean, the Jehovah's Witness got some problems. Can I have an amen from somebody? We just go and watch the Bible and say, wah! So, are we having fun yet? That's smoking, isn't it? Yes, ma'am. All found in Revelation. No, I just get my tape. It's a lot more fun. Okay? So, are we making some headway? Are we enjoying ourselves? Okay. It's really neat stuff, isn't it? Once you think about it. Okay? Now, the events of the first half. Antichrist, it says conquers Russia, but it's Antichrist conquers where Russia looks on. Okay? I think it's correct in your book, isn't it? If you look in your book. Be the next page, probably, dear. There you go. Okay? Israel rebels under the Antichrist patronage because he thinks it's going to be the man of peace, and they're going to think that this could be the Messiah. So something tells us about the Antichrist is the only way he can be the Messiah is what? Probably going to have to be Jewish. Or at least they're going to think he's Jewish. It's amazing how much information the Bible gives you, isn't it? And we know that the Arab nation, as we know it, this holy war that we're having with terrorism, is going to be a good way to be wiped out, because they're going to have to be wiped out, because there's no way in the world that the Arab world is ever going to submit, except liberal Arabs, submit to a one world government, unless they are over it. So something major's got to happen to them, something major's got to happen to them not getting upset and fighting over the temple being rebuilt. So God's going to have to do some devastating stuff to wipe many out. And it could, only reason he may be holding the United States together right now is to help his plan to wipe out terrorism and Arabs. Deborah. He's fighting a war that he knows needs to, and that's why he stands with Israel. See, no doubt about it. Well, a couple of years ago. Since the world church. I'm trying to teach my class here, woman. Good gracious. Now, we got a world church. Now, check this out. The world church dominates religion. Now, how in the world you have a one world church and dominate Islam? Something major's got to happen, folks. Something major's got to happen for this to take place. World evangelization, as many are martyred. The 144,000 are going to be protected by God. The two witnesses are going to be protected by God. They're going to want to kill them. They're not going to be able to. And they're going to preach like you never heard preaching before. And many people are going to be coming. And when the people come to know the Lord, they're going to be martyred. Now, the people who make it as Christians through the tribulation is the one that's going to go into the millennial kingdom with God, still with our flesh, still getting married, still having children. Only Christians are going to go into the millennium. At the end of the tribulation, God's going to come down and wipe out everyone that isn't, that made it through the tribulation in the flesh. Okay? World judgment by war and pestilence. Woo! Faith! If you guys remember all the plagues and the trumpets and the bowls we went through when we went through the book of Revelation. Was many of you here when we went through the book of Revelation? Many of you weren't here, huh? It is nothing in the world like that, man. Woo-hoo! Just thank God that we're going to be up in heaven being judged eating barbecue ribs. Yes, ma'am. Many will be martyred. Many will live through it. If they live through the tribulation physically, yes. No, we have our new bodies and everything. We come down. We are already gone, remember. We had when for 1,000 years we're reigning, but this hasn't started yet. We're still in heaven right now during the tribulation period. When we get raptured, we're going to be up in heaven with Christ for 7 years, being judged. And then we'll come back with him at the end to reign for 1,000 years. Okay. And we'll have different bodies, just like Christ is. We can move around very quickly. We can walk through walls. This will be the whole aspect of the new body in Christ. Double chili, baby. Won't even need gas. That'd be worse than Neo on Matrix. So where's Hutch? He's out there doing his Superman thing. Yes, ma'am. I saw a hand somewhere. Yes, sir. Yes. Yo, bro. Okay. Okay. All right. Yo, bro. Not yet. Oh, yeah. Anyone that preaches to come to know the Lord is going to be really hated by the Antichrist, right? Really hated by other people. If you get the mark of the beast, if you just decline it, then it's going to be hard to eat food and buy food and live peacefully. Oh, yeah. Holy Spirit's going to be back then. Then when the Holy Spirit comes back to save the 144,000, and the Holy Spirit's going to have to be here to help people get saved at the 144, 144,000 too is going to be witnessing to. But he has to be removed in order for the Antichrist to be revealed. And the church must be removed for that to happen. So it's going to be worse than that, my brother. Chaos would not describe what's going to go on earth. Yes, ma'am.
Did you see the ones that they're listening to are they never heard?
Never heard. Won't be able to accept. If they've heard the gospel and rejected it before the tribulation, before the rapture, they're going to be deceived and their hearts are going to be hardened.
They'll be there?
Oh, yeah. And they won't be able to ever believe during that period. Which a million times it could. Won't be able to. That's where Micah's going to body slam Satan. This is during Revelation 11, around that area in Revelation. Antichrist destroys Russia and becomes world ruler. Gog and Magog. And the Bible talks about Gog and Magog. One is Russia. Yeah, bro. World power. Satan tried to use it to do what? America came along, pulled the power up under it. So they were going to come back into the whole union. The ten toes, the iron, the world kingdom, be made of clay. God's going to crush that at the end. That's who's going to come against everything. No, it's not. You want me to respond to that or something? Oh, okay, no. Yeah. No, it's not going to be any mention of America. Either we're going to roll into the rest of the world and go against Israel, or we'll be the only one standing with them. It'll probably be according on who our leader is, where we will stand. All right? Antichrist breaks covenant with Israel. And he's going to walk in there and take the picture down of God and put his picture up and say, I need to be worshipped. Israel's going to know right then, uh-oh. We have a problem, Houston. Okay? That's when the wrath of God's going to begin, because Satan's going to be slammed out of heaven. He's going to go crazy. He's going to pour all of his power into his son, the Antichrist. He's going to raise havoc on the earth, and God's going to turn loose his bowls on top of it. Yeah, bro. At the very beginning. He's right in the very beginning. Just think about it right now. What religion is being set up to take over right now? I mean, the world is looking for a leader. Stage is being set. Only thing that needs to be done is the curtain raised. Antichrist rules as a beast. Uh-oh. But it says he's going to show you the best first and save the worst for last. When his father's thrown out of heaven, things are going to get bad. He's going to be mad and he's going to start judging because he knows he's only got 3.5 years to destroy as many as he can to take with him that he won't accept. He does not know the time of hell, but once that 7 years start,
right.
He'll know.
7 years
start. Yeah. World church is destroyed. That's when they're going to say, oh, okay, Mr. Religious, leave, we don't need you anymore. And when they kill him, where does he go? Where? He goes straight to the pit of hell. Okay? It's only going to be two people in hell up until the end of the millennial period. One is the holy prophet, false prophet, and the other is going to be the Antichrist. They're the only ones going to go straight to hell and judge immediately at the end of the tribulation period. Everyone else won't go until the end of the millennial period.
So they're going to get barbecue until it's time for them to go down there?
No.
Where are they going?
They're on earth.
They've already died.
When they die, they go straight to the pit of hell. No one, hell is uninhabited right now.
Right, but what if they're already dead like today?
No, they're not.
Where?
If you're dead as a Christian today?
No, I'm saying.
You're in the land of Sheol, land of the dead.
They stay there. So.
Yeah, Christian used to be there until Christ died. There was a big chasm that separated people that died without believing in Christ and people that died believing he was coming or believing he had come. And then God took them captive. Now when a Christian died, they go straight to paradise with God. Okay? But everyone that dies without knowing or believing in Christ goes to what we call Sheol, the land of the dead, waiting for judgment. Party. No, they're sitting there waiting for judgment. They know that they're judged. It's only in hell that you're going to be totally independently alone and by yourself without seeing anyone for eternity. It's the end of the millennial period where the great white throne judgment is. Okay? Everyone flowing with me? Yes, ma'am. Lazarus and the rich man now were before Christ died. Now, before he died, that you was in the land of the dead, if you was a non-believer, if you believed that Christ was coming or believed that Christ was Messiah, when you died, you went to Abraham's bosom, it was called, which was a big gap. And so now, when Christ died, he went and took Abraham's bosom captive. All the believers that died that didn't believe the Messiah would come or when he was there, like the thief on the cross. Went straight to Abraham's bosom. Today you'll be with me in paradise. That's what he means. Then after 3 days, Jesus resurrected, took captive the captive, Ephesians 4, took everyone that was in Abraham's bosom and took them to heaven with him. He's in the land of the dead. Luke 16. He's I'm tormented because not because of fire, I'm tormented because I know I'm judged. Hey, can you imagine sitting? I mean, it's like getting diagnosed with cancer and knowing you're going to die and your body deteriorating and you just sit and wait. You either got peace of God, but someone don't have the peace of God in their life with that same disease. They become bitter, they can come. I mean, it's unbelievable what can take place. So can you imagine sitting for 1,000 years or 2,000 years or 3,000 years or 4,000 years sitting waiting knowing that you're going to be judged? There'd be a fire and torment inside of it. Okay? World church destroyed, only beast worship is allowed. Supernatural judgment poured out of God. Blasphemy increases, the judgment intensifies. The judgment, blasphemy, if you notice during the church age, you basically didn't hear about blasphemy. During the tribulation period, it comes back, 7 weeks of Daniel, blasphemy is brought back up as a biblical term. Because the only one can really blaspheme is individual Jews or the nation of Israel. Okay? Are we flowing? What time is it? Man, the time's flying, isn't it? I'm a sick person out of here. Excuse me. We shouldn't be having fun in this class. This is serious judgment stuff. Alright? At the end of the tribulation period, all nations will gather at Armageddon. That's the correct saying, but we call it Armageddon. Okay? Now, at Megiddo is the city right at the edge. What? It's the name of the city right at the edge of the Armageddon Valley. All right? There's an Air Force right now that sits right in the middle of the Armageddon Valley, Israel offense. But you only see the landing strip. You never see jets, anything out there. Anyone know why? They're all on the ground. They're for landing, then they get on the pad. A big elevator takes them underground, and they take off coming out of the ground. So if they ever attack and war happens, they can still get their planes off the ground. Okay? But right in the middle of the Armageddon Valley is where the last great war is going to take place. And that seven entrances, Napoleon came as he was coming through on a great road. He looked at the Armageddon Valley and says, "What a perfect place for the final battle," not knowing that he was quoting scripture, that the final battle would be there in the Armageddon Valley, a Megadon, right next to Megiddo. Now, it says that when this war takes place, that all the nations are going to converge there. Now, what will make all nations converge upon Israel? I believe the verse says that the desert will bloom. Not with flowers and fruit and all that. That's true. But I think the desert's going to end up being the place where all oil is going to happen. One major earthquake shuts off the flow of oil going into all the Arab countries. and pushes up right out of Israel, out of the Dead Sea, the whole world will look upon coming to Israel. Just by keeping oil important. Alright? Christ is going to return and destroy the godless army. Remember when we were doing the book of Revelation, remember what we kept talking about? Man, I think this is going to really scratch Mark because it's been turned over most of the night. But what we were talking about was that all of a sudden Christ is going to come back and it says all the armies are going to turn their guns and fight with the Holy Host coming down. Now, what would make an army turn and fight God? But what if they think it was UFOs coming back? As they have been fooled at the beginning of the tribulation period, that's what took place because Satan is the great deceiver. And if they think it's UFOs coming back to stop the war, they would do what? Turn their guns to fight. And God's going to wipe them with one word. And we're going to come riding with him. So y'all might as well get your horse lessons now. Christ judges a nation of living men. Everyone that's at the end of tribulation, when we come back with Christ to crush the war of Armageddon, Armageddon, right next to Megiddo, any way you want to say it, oh. When God comes to destroy and wipe out everybody, blood, it says, in that valley is going to flow to the height of a horse's bridle. That's how much killing is going to be going on in that valley. And God says that he's going to get it cleaned up with buzzards, fowls of the air. And you know how many buzzards it's going to take to clean up that valley? It says tanks are going to burn. They're making weapons now out of compressed paper, harder than steel. All those are going to burn. It's pretty amazing. Stealth, all that kind of stuff that's happening now. Now, he's going to come down, he's going to wipe out the whole army, stop the battle, and every living man is either going to be a Christian, he's going to enter into millennial kingdom with him. If they're not, he's going to kill them right there, wipe them out, and send them to the land of the dead. Sheol, for 1,000 years. Now, during the millennial period, every Christian that's alive physically and makes it through the tribulation period and goes into the millennial age is going to still get married, still have children, but they're still being the flesh, and every child born in the millennial kingdom is going to be born a sinner. So that's where non-believers are going to come from during the millennial period. You're going to be able to live 1,000 years. If you mess up, God's going to take care of it right away. It's going to be no disobedience. And for 1,000 years, God's going to reign. But you know what's so amazing is that after 1,000 years of God's reign, man at the end of that millennial period is going to rebel. Which proves the point that God has. No man would be with an excuse. Because if we was Adam or Eve, we would have done exactly the same thing that they did. And after 1,000 year reign with Christ, it's going to be no temptation aspect of being Satan. What Satan's going to be able to do, your flesh is going to do it. But Satan's going to be bound. Not in hell, but in a pit. Many people believe that we are in the millennial period right now. They call it the amillennialists and all these other beliefs that goes on. And they believe that we are in the millennial period right now. And I say, if it is, Satan got a long chain. He's supposed to be bound. And I don't see Christ reigning on the earth, do you? So it's common sense will eliminate some of that, but a lot of people believe we're already in the millennial kingdom. Christ is going to reign. We're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. All Israel is going to be regathered. That's the believers of God. That's us. And the physical nature is changed where we get to live for a whole 1,000 years. Yeah, we'll make it through because we're going to be ruling with it for 1,000 years, but we won't be able to, we'll have our new bodies during that time.
Right. So what's
the
description of that?
Fun. Oh, yeah, because we're going to help rule. We'll be his ruling body on earth, just like the government now.
So the physical and spiritual kind of body?
Mm-hmm. Christ was recognizable after he got his new body, right? But he was different. Huh? Right. Without the sinful flesh, we won't be able to have children. Because in Christ, in heaven, there'll be no marriage or the taking of marriage.
Now, are we going to rebel at the end?
Or just the no, it won't be a possibility for us to rebel because we'll be 100% controlling away from the flesh. Okay? Physical nature's changed, but live and walk with Christ. There isn't even any words to describe what that period of time is going to be like, sitting and reigning with Christ. After 1,000 years of perfect reign of Christ, without any rebellion being put up with, Christ is going to stuff it immediately. Life has changed. The lion and the lamb's going to lay down together. There'll be total peace during the millennial period aspect of animals. And then all of a sudden, God's going to let Satan back out of the pit. And 1/3 of the people is going to rebel with Satan at the end of the millennial period. And God's going to stuff Satan and them immediately. And then what's left is the great white throne judgment, where your name is either in the book or it's not. Now tell me, what does it mean that God will wipe your name out of the book of life? A lot of people use that as being a period of losing your salvation. All right? Everybody's name is in there to start with. Why? Yes, you have to have your sins taken care of until you can make a decision to reject. So if children that die, people that's mentally ill, the grace of God takes so their name will be in the book. You rebel and not accept them as you get older, and not accept them, then your name is blotted out of the book. Okay? Has nothing to do with losing your salvation. It has everything to do with the age of accountability made you reject instead of accept. Oh, easy. Everyone that's in the land of Sheol is not going to be there, right? Everyone's going to rebel. Name won't be there. For 1,000 years, they're going to reign, and then all of a sudden, they're going to reject.
What's going to happen
after that? Revelation says the new heavens and the new earth is created. 200 meters thick, 2,000 feet long in every... 2,000 miles each wall, 12 doors in the new heavenly kingdom with jewels of diamonds and onyx and every precious stone, each door representing the disciples, one disciple and one tribe of Israel, the heavenly city. Some beautiful place with an open running river with trees of fruit, being born and always there. And we have our time to get to know Christ.
How do you know which tribe you're from?
If you're not Jewish, you won't be from any tribe.
Well,
which won't matter because you will be complete in Christ.
What you just were talking about, is that a
revelation? Mm-hmm. It gives a description of the city. 2,000 feet long on the east side, 200 meters thick, the walls, doors beyond your wildest dream, 12 of them. And we'll hang out. Let me give you a little secret about what we do. We'll probably spend the first 15 million years just looking at the face of Christ. We'll spend the second 15 million years learning about one or two names of God. God is infinite. Since time is no issue, you and I can never get bored. We get bored now because we're living in time. Heaven will be the ever-present now. You can't get tired now. Okay? Any other questions as we close our study? We want to hit the last part next week. We'll talk a little bit more about the millennial period, and we will spend time learning how to study the Bible. Don't worry. Anybody? Isn't that great news? I hope you enjoyed tonight's class. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to learn your word. Father, I pray that you'll move me out of the way and you have the freedom to say and do whatever you wish to whomever. Thank you for using me and teaching this class, Lord, through me. In Jesus' name, amen.